Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And it is awesome to be here. I love when The Big Show rolls around because that means it's Thursday. Actually, when Thursday rolls around, that means it's The Big Show. Regardless, I always get excited for this because I get to hang out with cool people and have amazing discussions. And Ewan, after all these years of letting me interim host, still has not said, all right, mate, no, we just need to stop this now. So
what do you like us doing?
Anyhow, so I do appreciate that I get to be your interim host. This is wonderful. Speaking of wonderful, look at these amazing people that are here with me today. Our lost prodigal son, back finally. Ian, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yes. Now I've had busy series of weekends. I have. So I was in London. Then I was at another meeting which clashed with this. Last week we were packing off the 19-year-old to Newcastle for his to go to university. So yeah, finally back again.
Wow.
Indeed.
So are you empty nesting now?
Nah, we've got one left.
Do you have a shed or something out back? Because you could be an empty nester. Yeah. You've got a shed out back.
Just push him out there.
Well, now he's gone. The room that he used to use for studio to have his amp and stuff, it's only a like tiny little box room. It's now been taken over by a desk to be the her own personal study room now, which is good, which means we get our front room back.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Because normally the living room ends up having a corner of her studying, and then you can't make a noise, otherwise you'll be hung, drawn, and quartered.
Fair. Yep.
In that order.
So, in any order she feels fit, sees fit. So it's generally best to come look somewhere else.
Yeah.
But no, we get a front room. We get the living room back, so that's nice.
This checks out. So, well, congratulations on getting your living room back.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's really about.
Good times.
Yep. Yep. Speaking of good times, Ben, how are you?
I am great, Jeff. Happy to be here and talk to everyone on the Generative AI show.
I laugh only because none of us are actually here. We're just using generative AI to create the likenesses and to generate the dialogue, which tells you how inane we can be at times, where generative AI can on the fly create this dialogue and it seems completely believable for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, except for Patrice. Speaking of the one person here who definitely speaks better than generative AI.
I'm not so sure about that, to be honest. Generative AI is pretty good. So at least good at sounding believable, which we're not too, maybe we are. Wait a second. Maybe this show is, it's been fake all along. This is just generative AI like telling us what to say and we're just repeating it because we don't know what we're talking about either. So
that's a really good believable point. This show is so meta.
I don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah. So meta.
Yeah. No, exactly. No, I'm good. I'm good. First week back at work after my vacation. Went on a nice little hike, like finish up my vacation time on Sunday here in Vienna. Beautiful 4-hour hike in like in the vineyards on the mountains, and yeah, it's good. It's good. And then I got a request to go on a short 2-day business trip next week. Like our board decided they have an urgent project, and because I don't know, because they don't understand how international companies work, we're doing 2 days of the workshop in person and then 2 days or 3 days online. So I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Makes whatever. Like it's okay, but I mean, it's their money, so who cares? We're supposed to save money, but I guess short notice business travel is fine. So,
well, I mean, you are saving money because a couple of the days are online. I'm totally yes. pulling at straws for logic here.
Yes. No, it's like, I mean, the 2 days are going to cost probably something like 1,200 euros or something. So not sure how worth that is, but okay. Well, I mean, we got the request. We're doing it. So
mm-hmm.
there's that. No, so I'll be in Germany 2 days, Monday, Tuesday next week. And then Tuesday evening, I'm flying back. And it's all good.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, you can just go into the old business saying of, oh, whatever.
Exactly. at least I get some airline miles out of it. So
yeah, so there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, but as I said, it's all booked and ready, and I'll just go Sunday afternoon. I'll fly over, nicely relaxed, and then I'll be fine.
Sounds great. Well, so from my perspective. When you get to go on business trips, you're traveling internationally generally.
Yes.
which as someone who lives in the United States, and most of my travel is domestic, although yes. if you compared it to what you're doing, it would be kind of the same.
Yeah, it's kind of like you would be flying to Phoenix. That's kind right. of the distance. So.
But since it's all part of the same country here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What you yep. do to me sounds really cool and exotic because you just travel from country to country, and it yes. and it's like, oh, I have this surprise trip that's coming up in a couple days, and I'm off to this country, which would be like me saying, oh, I have a surprise trip coming up, and I have to go to Vegas, or I'm going to Portland or Chicago.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. I mean, for some people, like, don't tell the Austrians here, but they think Germany and Austria are the same country, so mm-hmm. who knows?
I blame Sound of Music for that.
Yeah, probably.
You also have a live.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, the best thing was, what was it, recently I saw somewhere where someone listed countries in Europe, and one of the countries was Australia. I'm like, yeah, no.
Oh, mate.
I'm like, that would be cool, but no.
No, but bless their heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll put some bratwurst on the Barbie.
Yeah, that sounds like a cool idea. No, that's also Australian. I mean, they have bratwurst here too, like Wiener Würstchen.
And to be fair, bratwurst on the Barbie is pretty darn good.
God, yeah.
If you could,
can't see being bad, Dad, to be honest.
Yeah, God, I want to end this now and just go to Aldi's.
All right, so road trip, we are all going out to lunch with Ben now, so thanks for joining us today, everyone.
Host is awesome. Bye.
Yep. All right, well, I suppose before lunch, though, we should at least go through the motions of doing stories. So Ian, okay. You drop yours in first. And
I'm getting quick with this one. Has anyone else decided to go for it?
And please tell us about Microsoft's little faux pas.
Yeah, it is kind of fun. So Microsoft were linking up and leaving some data on the GitHub site in order, which if anyone doesn't know is a resource for developers, for some links for some stuff they were working on, all part of their AI research team. What they didn't realize is when they were sharing the links for the files they were sharing, it actually allowed people to get in completely into Microsoft's backups for all of their OneDrives.
I think
over 34 terabytes for every employee's data was accessible briefly.
Oh, no.
Because it's all in Azure, because they used a token, a secure token to access it, but... You can set the level. You can set the level of recursiveness of how far down, whether it's just the file or it's a directory or it's a folder or it's the entire contents.
It was probably one of those folder sharing links with a token that allows you to access it directly. Yes. But they shared it. They shared the folder and then added the file name at the end of the URL. But that doesn't work that way. Yeah.
It was they revoked the token pretty damn quickly, but it was still it was just amusing that even the big guys, even the ones that are
building the tool don't understand.
Don't know what they're doing. It's nothing to do with this one's nothing to do with AI. It's just crossing the path of it, just because the team's building the data sets up and stuff.
It's always, as you say, it's always the squishy bits.
Absolutely. It's always as we always say here. The problem with any technology is the squishy bit. It's you and me. Yes, we're not to be trusted to remember to pull all the levers and push all the buttons.
Yeah. Well, someone clearly pushed all the levers and pushed all the buttons because it dumped all this data right out.
Yeah,
too bad it was the wrong buttons and levers.
Basically, if you started going recursively down the folder set, of course you would. So why can I see that one? Ooh. Should I be able to get to it? And so, 30,000 Teams messages, hundreds of passwords and secret keys.
Yeah, I mean, you know you're not supposed to share passwords and sensitive things on Teams in general, but, you know.
It happens. People. Again, where squeegee bits.
The guys at Sony will now be sending some now fired Microsoft employee a fruit basket for the entire Xbox roadmap for the next 10 years.
Yes. Look, designs for the latest Xbox. Clicky. Yes. It's just madness.
Yeah. Wasn't there a 10-year plan for the Xbox, I think?
Yeah.
Probably, yes. There's all manner of things that they found.
Yeah, I think till 2030 or something, they had a plan and that's not revealed.
Well, surprise.
Microsoft can be idiots.
Yeah, this was actually more interesting than their actual event.
That was true.
There wasn't that much said, was there? I don't think it was the Microsoft big reveal and things. Mm-hmm. I saw some pictures of a really interesting looking Xbox. It's like a cylinder.
Is that the circular one?
Yeah, like a cylinder. Looks a bit like a trash can Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if it's a cylinder shape, is it still an Xbox?
No, it's an X can now.
It's an XX box.
It's a super one, isn't it? The cylindrical one is the it's a super duper wheezy bangy.
Yeah.
Fly to the moon. It flies to the moon, makes your tea, and downloads every game in an instant one.
Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful. Yeah. And Ben, your comment in the chat room. Somebody is getting fired. I'm betting they're already gone.
I don't think so. I mean, that is kind of, I see those comments all the time where people say someone made a mistake and now someone is getting fired. I hope not, and two, I don't believe so. I think Microsoft is not in Facebook or X, 100%, 10 people will get fired.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Microsoft has... jobs. Microsoft is mature enough at this point, and they've learned a lot over the last couple of years, that they know, it's just people. People make mistakes, and as long as you fix them and learn from them and don't do it again, it's fine.
The only thing is,
it wasn't malicious.
It's the American employment system. You don't have any protection as employees. They can't just send them off.
If it wasn't malicious, you're getting rid of a probably valuable person in the company, and then you have to hire someone else and train them and find them.
And that is expensive.
And that is expensive. So as I said, and it's not fair to the employee. I said we all make mistakes. Like if they did it on purpose or they were being really, really, really stupid, okay. Maybe get reprimanded for that. Don't do it again. But or I mean if it was malicious, then okay, maybe they get fired. But then I mean that's a separate thing. Like then they probably don't just get fired, they probably get sued and whatever. Like so FBI raided by the FBI and everything. But as I said, usually it's just people make mistakes. Like I've seen that where like some really poor site reliability engineer made a mistake and Amazon was down for an hour. And then people say, "Oh, person's getting fired." I'm like, "I hope not."
You know,
like, I mean, I can.
They're
I can
beating themselves up more than you can imagine.
I went once to our data center for previous employer to sort out a problem with a server in the rack, and I was there fiddling around. And to be fair, my predecessors haven't really done. And this was quite new to the company. My predecessors haven't really done a very good job of cable management. Mm-hmm. So I'm there rooting around and finding and running and tracing cables and doing all the things you do. And then my phone starts ringing in the pocket. Oh, I'll ignore that for a minute. I'm just going to find the end of this wire. I'm nearly there now. And it's still, oh, God, I better answer and see what's going on. I answer my phone. Ian, everything's gone off. Everything's gone off. What's happened?
He looks up to see
there's no lights on anything in the rack above me. Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah,
what's happening?
Exactly.
So, and then the MD's on his way. Oh, okay. It's a nice job this for a while. I didn't lose my job, but you know it's yeah. And that turned out to be shoddy power cables plugged into an overactive power strip.
Happens.
So basically sort of because the cable rocked, it sort of short was boom, off it went.
Mm-hmm.
These things happen.
Yeah. So, you know, exactly.
I don't see why not.
So related to all of this, Microsoft just changed a lot about how they deal with employee situations. So managers are no longer allowed to give feedback. They give you feed forward.
Yeah, but that is the most ridiculous, stupid thing.
I agree. And then the other thing is when you are providing internal commentary feedback on other employees, you are no longer allowed to offer negative comments. You have to talk about the positive things.
I'm not so sure about that.
Sounds like a straight fire.
Okay, let's put it this way. I can understand the sentiment behind it to say we want to have a positive culture, we want to be positive about things, but sometimes something that sounds negative can still be positive, and I think that's where it gets really difficult, and you forbid negative feedback at all. Sometimes you just have to be honest and say, hey, sorry, that was like whatever. What you just said was really hurtful and was shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be allowed to say that.
I agree.
You have to have that measure of, what was I doing wrong then? Okay, tell me. What am I doing badly? What do I need to improve on? I want to know this. It's no good saying I'm brilliant at everything when I'm not.
Yeah.
A bit of feedback which isn't feedback because you're not saying anything.
Yeah, I mean, there is definitely a line when you're saying, hey, you're an asshole or something without any context. Like, it's not you're being an asshole about X, Y, and Z, and here's why. Okay, like, if you as the person giving feedback are being on purpose hurtful,
That's a different thing.
That's a different thing
saying that, oh, your sales numbers were down last month. You know, you could be doing this and that to kind of get your sales numbers up. That's positive feedback.
Yeah.
Even though it's negative because saying, well, your numbers were down. You know, we need you to do better.
Yeah. Well, that's the idea behind.
It isn't really a helpful thing.
Yeah. That's the idea behind feed forward. Which is, let's not focus on what you did wrong. Let's focus on how you're going to improve.
Yeah. And I think that makes sense. That's, I mean, anyway, that's how I do things. Mm-hmm. I usually, I mean, like when something happens and then people dwell on, oh, and this person did this thing and this was wrong and this is wrong and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, yeah, fine. It's like, it's all, we know all of that. What do we do about it now? What do we change for the future? That's the important part.
Yes, yes, I completely agree. The whole point of, I don't care who did whatever wrong. That doesn't
exactly
matter.
I don't care.
It's over.
Honestly.
That's done with. Yeah. How do we stop it happening again if it was serious? Yeah.
That's it. Unless it was someone who did it on purpose, then I want to know. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. a different situation then, because then, mm-hmm. then we have a problem. mm-hmm. yeah. Usually, but then I have the problem that I say, okay, I don't want that person to do that again. So you're getting fired.
Yeah. Well, that's not
yeah, but that, of course, that's, like you said, a totally different situation compared to someone accidentally left the right information in so mm-hmm. that people could bore all the way down through 30 yeah. odd terabytes of data.
Yeah, exactly. It's always about, and like I've had meetings like that where like half an hour was spent on figuring out who was wrong and not agreeing on it. Until I jumped in and said, okay, I don't give a crap who's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can we now focus on fixing it and then you can argue later who was wrong?
Yeah. I've equally been in customer meetings and said, honestly, this isn't productive for us. What we now need to decide is what we're doing next rather than complaining about it. So how can we move forward? And then you're generally that you can kind of have that in a positive spin rather than it being, saying this isn't helping us, is it? Unless we can work out what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Now in this case, to bring it back to your story, Ian, they just mm-hmm. took all their content off OneDrive and moved it to Dropbox. Problem solved, right?
Exactly. See, they're using Google Drive. I think they might be using Google Drive now, actually.
No, they just put it all on the internet and said, "Here, have it."
Your problem solved. And the great thing is now it's backed up multiple times.
Yeah, exactly. No problem with backups anymore.
Yeah, right. Open source. That's what I know.
Yeah.
Don't worry, the NSA now has backed everything up for you. So.
Right. And, you know, see, that's your tax dollars at work.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Who has the next story?
Hmm.
I mean, if I have to, I'll throw one in. Don't make me have to throw a story in, people.
If I can find the chat, I'll throw it in. There we go. So I thought I would talk about something cool.
Well,
because why not?
Oh, sounds awesome.
So, I didn't know this, but apparently Samsung has frame TVs. Mm-hmm. That's what their product line is called. Which I found really, really interesting. I mean, I don't own a TV. I don't want to own a TV, but this is actually a cool idea to have a TV that doesn't really look like a TV, mostly. That kind of looks like you have a picture frame, like a big one, big ass, like artwork thing on the wall. I think that's a really cool idea, and you can like show whatever you want on it, or you can watch TV on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of very tasteful thing to do, where it's like, I don't know how I've never seen one in real life. I don't know how close to an actual frame it looks like.
Who's so vulgar? You have a television. Who's so vulgar?
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, it sounds like a really cool idea. But what this story is about is that Samsung is actually partnering with the Met, the Metropolitan Museum, to bring artwork from the Met to the frame TVs. So if you always wanted to have some really cool art from really, really good artists that the Met has, you can now get that. There's 38 pieces from the Metropolitan Museum of Art, the official name for it, that come to the art store. So there's an art store, I guess. Samsung's art store, and you can, it's a subscription. Either $4.99 per month or $50 annually, which, I mean, if you think about it, it's still a lot cheaper than actually buying any of those artworks if you can or stealing them, I don't know. Probably should way cheaper than that. And you can switch them out. Like you can have one today and a different one tomorrow if you don't like it anymore. It's still not the same as the actual artwork for sure. Like it's never going to look as nice, and it's still a TV.
At the end of the day, it's still a TV.
But at 4K, at a 4K TV, I mean, it's fine.
And it certainly looks nicer than just a blank screen on the wall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it also uses way more power, I guess. So mm-hmm. there's that. But yeah, I mean, instead of having some random TV show that you're not watching on your TV, just show some art.
If you're cheap, get an SD card, download the images, and put it in the back of your TV.
Oh, sure, you can. I mean, sure, you can do that for, like, of course, but it's probably not the same quality.
No, I'm sure.
And I mean, as I said, from my perspective, also a way to support a little bit the art world. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the Met hopefully gets some money for that. And in addition, that's in here in the story, the art store actually has 2,300 pieces of digital art for more than 800 artists. So they're partnering with a lot of other museums, galleries, and art e-commerce platforms, I guess. So, as I said, I just found this really interesting because, you know, I would say almost forever, TVs have been somewhat of a technical thing in a TV in a living room, right? I mean, they have been in the past some ideas of integrating TVs in, like, whatever, in the furniture, making it look fancy, or hiding it, you know, those lifts that then hide the TV if you're not using it and stuff like that. But it's always been something that you either hide away or that is simply something very technical in your living room, right? Mm-hmm. There's a black or silver, usually rectangle-ish thing in your living room. And that's been that way for basically as long as TVs have existed.
Mm-hmm.
But now we are at the point in technology where it doesn't have to be that way.
This seems like a natural progression. I mean, we've already had digital photo frames for a long mm-hmm. time. We've yes. had flat screen televisions for a long mm-hmm. time. Why not blend them together, which Samsung did a few years ago?
Yeah.
And now being able to have easy access to fine art that you can display mm-hmm. on these televisions that look like big picture frames. Yeah, makes sense to me.
Yeah, but I mean, the picture frames have mostly been quite simple. What I'm seeing here in the 2023 editions of the frames is quite sophisticated. Like, if you think mm-hmm. about it, like, that is a case where I think actual designers worked on stuff. It's not just, okay, let's do a black mm-hmm. rectangular frame around it and we're done. It's like they have different materials and stuff, and I think that's quite interesting. Different colors, different materials, different looks, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like a matted picture frame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, and I do have to say, especially the one with the tan / brown border, that looks pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. I think so. So. It's a really cool idea.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you have something like a Victorian house or an older house.
Oh yeah.
You could have your modern amenities, while keeping the without having the modern creep in.
Yeah, with keeping the style, the aesthetics to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could manage to look to keep it.
Yeah. As I said, I mean, I didn't know about this. It looks like this has actually existed for, I mean, the frame has existed for a couple of years, I guess. But it's, I mean, as you said, it's an obvious idea that nobody else is doing so far from what I've seen.
Oh, yeah. And the prices seem pretty competitive. Plus, they offer them all the way up from a little 32 inch all the way up to 85 inches. Mm-hmm. You have a home theater type
yeah.
deal.
Yeah.
You can customize mm-hmm, yeah. the frames.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. As I said, I just found that a really interesting idea. And then to combine, and that's also, I mean, someone has to come up with that idea. Mm-hmm. Samsung could have just said, well, here's a nice TV with looks like a frame. Done. Like,
yeah.
Not my problem. Done. But they actually went a step further and said, okay, we want to partner with companies that can highlight the frame and really give it a purpose. So they're partnering with artists and museums and galleries.
Yeah. And quite frankly, Apple, I want the freaking Louvre collection on my TV screensaver.
That actually would be pretty cool.
You know, now that you say that, Ben, what a great opportunity for Apple. I mean, yes, the Apple TV screensavers are really nice, and they're all original content for
the
Apple.
The artworks in its own way.
Mm-hmm. But it would be cool to be able to display fine art just as a feature of the Apple mm-hmm. TV yeah. screensaver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, when you are not watching TV, the TV shouldn't be something that distracts you in your home. It should be something that blends in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking over at my television now.
The rehearsal of the ballet on stage, or like a Van Gogh, the Sunflowers, for example.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever wanted that at home, there's your chance.
There you go. And yeah, it would look much nicer than my... Now, granted, I have a 32-inch flat panel TV over there. So it doesn't overpower the room like a larger television would. Mm-hmm. But it's still this big black slab just sitting there because it's off most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't remember where I heard it years ago, but someone always used to call the TV the big monster that sat in the corner, the big one-eyed monster that sits in the corner stealing away your brain. That's a quote yeah. from.
Yeah.
Well, it's a quote from somewhere.
Someone that didn't like the TV show that was on.
Yeah.
My parents always called it the house altar.
The house altar. That's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, where you pray to the TV god.
Yes. Yes, in the name of the Star Trek and the Star Wars and SG-1, amen.
Yes. So say we all.
So say we all.
Make it so.
This is the way.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way.
Hey, Ben, tell us about your story.
Well, this is kind of a two-part story, but it's kind of going down the same direction. Yeah. Both Microsoft and Amazon had their own little events this week.
Mm-hmm.
They had iterative updates to their products that we're not going to talk about today. What we are going to talk about today is generative AI powered Alexa and Windows Copilot. Yep. So if you wondered what the next step from ChatGPT past your browser was going to be, well, we just had that answered pretty conclusively.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. For the Amazon products, Amazon Alexa is now generative AI powered. It will go with all the new ones since they have quite a bit more powerful processor. And there's also going to be that same, risk when it comes to any generative AI or company model that goes on personal information. Quite frankly, Amazon is not doing this for their own good. They are using it to, A, try to get you to buy things, their things.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And number two, whatever information you can give it, they're going to try to sell that and make a buck too.
Yeah. And something that I know quite a bit about, they're kind of offering this so people are aware of it so that they can work with companies, with enterprises on it.
Yeah.
So they have a pretty big and pretty good enterprise offering for Copilot and for like AI offerings in general that companies use for internal tools and stuff. And that's where they make their money.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Microsoft have always made their money.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, they've always sold Windows to consumers so that they like people would want it in their business.
Yep, because you saw it, you had it at home with all that. It's cool.
Yes.
And you can get it in your office. And so for your average Joe public in the street, we'll go, yeah, that's brilliant. You know, it is Microsoft, and we trust Microsoft Edge.
Yes, and if you do want that in your office, segueing to the second part of this, as part of their Surface event, which Microsoft held in so much esteem that they didn't even bother to stream it. Yep. The official replacement for Cortana, Microsoft Copilot, will be integrated into the next Windows 11 update on September 26th.
So what you're saying is this event was so important, it could have been an email.
It could have been an email.
Pretty much.
So basically, Clippy is going to be infused into every part of your Windows experience now.
Yes.
Again, you want to say again?
Again.
And he will become sentient and... He will take over the world. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where have we seen this before?
Badgie.
Oh, yeah.
Badgie. Haven't we seen this before?
Yeah.
Lower Decks.
Yes.
Yeah. Badgie is still out there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep. Okay. So one of the things about the Alexa part that I'm finding interesting is that the new features will work with any Echo device. So not needing to have any hardware upgrades, on one hand, that's great. On the other hand, it just drives home how much of this processing is done on servers in another location. Because if you can take a really old Echo and use these new AI features, I mean, that's not happening on device at all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course not. Otherwise, they couldn't mine your data and sell it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This does not have the processing power.
Right. Oh, that for those of you at home, Ben just held up a little fire stick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's for sure. It probably has enough processing power.
I mean, it certainly has enough processing power to recognize that it's being spoken to and then send that information off to Amazon's AI servers where it's really processed and then sent back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's just awesome. Well, okay. even though this disturbs me on many levels, I'm actually really interested to see how these new AI features with Alexa work out.
If it works out as well as the Google AI features have worked out, then
Siri will suddenly look a lot better.
Siri. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, lady, turn on the TV. Launching nuclear missiles.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly. Oh, I laugh only because
which country would you like to nuke? Oh, you could like to nuke tonight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, it would be one big way to deal with the human race in the have you tried turning it off and back on again since. Yeah.
Weren't there a couple of TV shows where a sentient AI basically eradicated like the population to do a reset?
Well,
I think the 100 was one of them.
I mean, there's also Terminator.
Oh, that's true.
I suppose to a degree, The Matrix.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
But yeah, and there's a new movie that, oh, bye, Ben. Hopefully he comes back. You know what the problem is? The AIs knew that Ben was speaking critically of them, so they just cut him off.
Yeah, Badgie got him.
Yeah. So, Ben, we were speculating that you dropped out because Badgie found you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or because T-Mobile is not near as reliable as TSO host.
That's true. And, you know, I was actually going to do a transition based on you dropping out, and you totally set it up and did it for me. So thank you very much. And thank you for knowing just how my brain works. So with that, TSO hosts, yes, Ben did an awesome setup with his transition. Okay, Ben, you committed to that TSO host transition. You dropped out and came back as part of the setup. That's a sign of a true professional right there, people. Professional, much like TSO hosts, who offers us everything that we need. Well, they don't actually offer. They're giving us what we need to be able to live stream to you every single week, to have a place for all of our show files to live so that you can watch or listen to episodes whenever you want, so that there's a place for the website to be so that you can go and find all of the shows and find links to the live chats and just keep up on everything that we're doing. So why do I point all this out? Well, it's because the resources it takes to do everything we're doing, it's beyond what we would be able to manage ourselves. And without TSO host's generous support, we would not be here at all. And I'm not exaggerating that. Their support is critical for us to be able to live stream to you every single week and bring you quality content every single week. Well, when we do have quality. Anyhow, the point is they're awesome and they're leveraging what they do and giving back to the community so that we can be here. So here's what you can do to show that you appreciate that they're here supporting us. Go out on social media and thank TSO hosts for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Simple as that. And because they're giving back to the community, they're doing even more. They're offering everyone a great offer so that you can take advantage of their services with a deal if you want. So here's how that works. Let's say you have a domain name that you want to buy. Go use TSO Host. They make it super easy to do, and that's it. Just simple as that. If you need web hosting, use them for that too, because they are rock solid. Our website does not go down, and that's because they are rock solid. So find your domain names, get your web hosting packages, toss all that into your cart, and then use the discount code BTN20, and you'll get 20% off your order. So thank you, TSO Host, for being so generous and supporting the British Tech Network so that we can be here live streaming and bringing shows to people every single week. And thank you for giving all of our listeners such a great deal just because they're part of the BTN family. So thank you. And I hinted, I foreshadowed. That's what I did. I foreshadowed the live chat. And Patrice, I would love it if you could help me out here and tell people about that, please.
Yeah, we have an awesome live chat without any AI, no Clippy, no Badgie, nothing, any of that. But we have some awesome people in there. And if you want to join that and talk to us live and see all the links that we're posting, the cool for the stories that we talked about and some extras even for the cool things that are coming up, all of that, then you can head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com. Whenever we're recording, so that is Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show, and also Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, if you're into the Apple side of things. And I mean, this is kind of Christmas that's happening right now with like new Apple devices and so on, so this is the best month to join. And yeah, so that's how easy it is to see everything that we talked about. But let's say you are listening to us in the recorded form, like in your favorite podcast player of choice, in like on our website, there's the video as well, if you're watching that, and you're like, oh, I would really like to know like that story that Ben talked about, like what was that? Like, do not worry, we have a little chatbot in our live chat that collects everything that was talked about and puts the transcript up on our website. And all you have to do for that, or to get to that, is you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and then there's a little calendar that pops up. You have to select the date, the recording date, which is the 21st of September, 2023. September 21st, 2023. And if you put that into the calendar, you will see everything that we talked about.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that. It's always a treat to watch a true professional in action. I granted it's a relative scale here, but okay. I appreciate it nonetheless.
It's a relative scale, yeah.
And Ben, I see that you have already dropped your cool thing into the live chat that Patrice just so eloquently told us about.
Yes. I can't... I don't know how much longer I can count on T-Mobile to actually be here. Yep. So I'm hoping my brain doesn't go dyslexic on this name, but it's a PS4 controller from GCHT. Gives you auto fire, all that, internal battery that charges via USB Type-C. Well, here's the other thing about that. Let's just say you wanted to use it on, say, another platform. It works on the PC. It works on the Android. And it works on all Apple platforms. In fact, that USB-C... which say you want a little bit more, a little less latency, you can use that USB cable for a wired connection as well, if you want to.
Nice.
Yeah. And the other thing about this, let's just say you prefer the games on PlayStation, but you cannot stand the way the sticks are located on this. This has an Xbox-style layout.
Nice.
And the best of all, it's only $30.
I see that. And with overnight delivery with Prime.
Yep. Yep, it's got this all, with all the PlayStation 4 features, including the touchpad and the 6-axis gyroscope.
Very cool. All for $29.
Yep.
Nice. Nice. Okay, Ian, that brings us to your cool thing.
My cool thing is one of the coolest things I found for just a while, which was the Arc browser.
Oh, I've been playing with this since it was beta.
I didn't get a beta invite, and then finally one turned up when it became full product. And it's lovely. There's so many small touches to this thing. It's no one big thing that I really like. Things like the little mini browser that pops up from my mail when I click on a link in my message. I can look at the content of the link and I can close it again, and it doesn't add yet another million tabs to my already browser full of tabs. Has nice little feature. The left-handed browser kind of thing is nice. I'm an old sort of Opera Vivaldi type user, so I like a speed dial kind of affair, and they have a nice little favorite section where I can mark up the 6 or 7 websites I go to most frequently, and it all just works really nice. It's one of those types of things where someone's gone, can we do this better and how? Rather than just, I'm going to put a new skin over Chrome and be done with it. It's a Chrome-based browser. There's Chrome underneath, but it's a lot better, and Microsoft, and at least I don't think Google is listening to what I'm doing. It's Chromium code, isn't it? It will be. It'll be Chromium based. So,
I like how they did well what you said, which is rethink how a browser interface can work, because the way we use our web browsers today isn't the same way it was 20 years ago.
No.
And tabs across the top of your browser window has always been a crap interface. So yeah, Arc is pretty cool. Arc,
very good. Sadly, I'm sorry, guys, it's only a Mac thing. I think there is a Windows one eventually being done, but currently I've not seen any news as when it was coming out. They did say that's what they're working on now, so I don't imagine it'll be too long.
Well, I mean, you say sadly, but I see it in a different light. Not sadly. Mm-hmm. Because they're developing native for the platform instead of using something like Electron. Yeah. So when they make the Mac or the Windows version, they'll be making a native version there as well.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That will be better.
I'm with you. Arc is that's a really good pick. Nice. Okay, so we have cool game controls, we have cool web browser, and now Patrice, we have you're taking up more of my time is what you're doing.
Yes. So this was, I think it was Chuck's cool thing last week or week before. I don't remember. No, it was last week. It's the TV show Rabbit Hole. And he recommended it, I think, on Friday. And I started watching it. And I basically, on Saturday, finished it. It's only at 8 episodes, so it's not a long season. But I basically binged it. It was that good. It's exactly what you like. It's exactly what you would expect from what's his name? I'm blanking on his name. 24 guy. Kiefer Sutherland. Yeah, exactly. It is kind of exactly what you would expect for him. It's kind of like that thriller kind of thing. He's like, but it's really interesting, honestly. When I watched the very first episode, I thought, oh, this is a really cool, like really interesting idea, like an elite level corporate spy who's trying to manipulate situations and things. And that in itself would have been a really interesting and really cool show.
Mm-hmm.
But then they top it because it goes into the spy thriller and like conspiracy and like that world, which is also really, really, really cool and really interesting. And whenever you think you figured it out, there's another twist and everything is different. And it was such a good show, such an interesting show. It's for sure, like it's based on Deception and it's like people are deceiving themselves, people are deceiving each other, and you're as a audience are being deceived to some extent as well. And that's kind of the point. And it's really interesting to figure it out. So yeah, it's a really good show. It's on Paramount, in the US at least. I think, let me check. I think in the UK it's probably on Sky if it's on Paramount.
It's on Paramount in the UK as well.
Oh, it's also on Paramount.
I've seen some trailers for that one.
Yeah, so it's not a completely new show. I think it was earlier this year, right? But yeah, it's a really, really good, really good show. I said 8 episodes. There hopefully will be a second season. But it said it's crazy how good it is, and it's crazy how deep it goes really in 8 episodes. How deep it goes on the human side of things, on the like the dynamics, and on like the you don't know what's going on part of things. Like till the end, you do not know really what's happening.
So, very cool.
Good show.
Yeah, all right. So 2 endorsements for the show. It's on my list of stuff I need to watch.
Yeah. I hope it's shot to the top now, because like I saw it and I immediately liked it. I said, I'm a big fan of like everything like Keith R. Sutherland has done recently. Like it's just really good shows.
Yes. Yeah, it's gone to the top of the list.
Yes, and now Jeff will tell us if there's a Lego set of the show.
There isn't, but there are mocks out there. And for those of you that don't know what that means, mock is a M-O-C, means my own creation, and it's a term for people that have designed their own Lego builds as opposed to just the stuff that's available officially through Lego. And there's some amazing mocks out there. So yes, you can find rabbit hole mocks if you want. Yeah. But that's not my cool thing. My cool thing is Bartender 5. And Bartender is an incredibly useful utility on your Mac that gives you all the control you wish you had over all the items in the menu bar. And yeah, it's to me, it's an indispensable tool. And when you have a lot of menu bar items, which tends to happen if you're using a lot of different utilities, that can be a problem. So because you can end up with menu bar utilities or icons overflowing with the menus for the current app, and it's just a mess.
And then when you have the notch, it's even worse.
And the notch, yep, yeah. Stuff can get hidden behind the notch. So with Bartender, what it does is it gives you a drop-down menu bar and or an overlay, whatever you need. And so then you can see all of your menu bar items, and you can sort them, organize them different ways. So version 5, this is specifically for macOS Sonoma, because some of the things that they're doing with Bartender 5 require features that that are Sonoma only. So now, instead of just simply being able to like set up your menu bar and show or have stuff that's hidden and stuff that's not, you can group your menu bar items. So if I have, say, like 5 that I use all the time, I'll just put them in one group. The example that they give, it's like they grouped everything for sound, and they grouped everything for networking, and they grouped everything for displays, which I can totally see that being a useful thing. But still, just being able to group your menu bar items any way that makes sense to you is really cool. It adds in presets, so you can have your items grouped or shown in different ways depending on what your activities are. They've added in triggers, so you can have different menu bar sets depending on the time of day, depending on your actions that you're currently doing or activities you're currently doing, whether or not you're plugged into a power cord, and then they're also adding in widget support soon too. So anyhow, and there's more. And it's still $16. If you have a license already, it's $8 to upgrade. And Bartender is in SetApp. I don't know when Bartender 5 will be coming to SetApp, but Bartender 4 is there right now. And Patrice giving a bubble thumbs up, totally appropriate.
And it froze my video.
It did, but at least it froze it where you're doing the coy look at the thumbs up bubble as opposed to something like your face is frozen, like, you know, that split second between transition from one expression to another. Yeah. So anyhow, Bartender 5 for the Mac, Mac OS Sonoma specifically. You can buy it now, which if you're running the betas, it'll work there. Otherwise, you won't be able to actually use it until next week when macOS Sonoma gets released. I'm not running Sonoma yet. I've already bought my copy, and it's sitting on my.
I will be so happy when Sonoma comes out. I'm not on the beta anymore.
I'll still be on
the beta, but I will not be on the major release beta anymore.
Yep. And so the big thing that holds me up from going to Sonoma went on launch day is the fact that I use Mail Suite from Smallcubed, and it's plugins for Mail, and plugins in Mail don't exist in Sonoma, but I have confirmation about what their roadmap and timetable is to addressing that with Mail Maven. Mm-hmm. So instead of talking about it here, because this is not the Mac show, I will leave that as a teaser. Show up on the Mac show tomorrow, and I will share with you the timetable information that I have confirmed about Mail Maven.
Nice.
And
that is great.
And with that, hey, it's time to wrap up. So thank you to all three of you for being here and making my late morning, early afternoon just so much fun. This is always a treat to get to hang out with you, and I really appreciate it. So, Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me in the usual places, which is in the chat room, which is the Slack room. I'll be lurking around there. Otherwise, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm Ian Grant. I'm also, hey, look, right side.
Well done.
Veeam, Ian Grant, you can find me there. I'll be somewhere or another teaching about Veeam things somewhere. Generally, I'm online. Look for me there and Facebook as well. But I don't do too much of the other socials. I'm a boring old fart like that.
Yes, but you're our boring old fart.
Yeah. Indeed.
Yep. And let's see. I remember the order now from when we started because I'm trying to match that and apparently took a lot of brain cells. Ben, where can people find you?
Well, Jeff, you can find me at Ben Rithig on the 6 trillion different forms of social media.
Mm-hmm.
You can find my writing up at rithig.tech. I have 2 new articles up. I plan for it to be 1. But I figured out, hey, I don't want to make this thing 2,000 words. So the A17 Pro has this now its own article.
Nice.
Nice.
You can find me Tuesday nights on Mac Voices with Mr. Chuck Joyner. Thursday nights on In Touch with iOS with Mr. Dave Ginsburg. And of course, Thursday and Friday here on the British Tech Network.
Awesome. And I'm glad that your connection became stable enough again that you made it this far through the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You know it's going to go down during Dave's show.
Oh, yeah. Sad, but true. Yep, it'll happen. Yep. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me here every week on the... No, it froze again. Yeah, that's funny. Every week on the Mac, on the Big Show on Thursdays, also on the Mac Show on Fridays. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the projects, literally everything I'm doing, you can find on my website, thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food, food-related stories and memories, and I should really edit one of the episodes that I still have, and then record one with Benzo, for example, then you can head over to Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. And, oh, that means it's my turn. Okay. So, on the social medias, I'm Jay Gamut pretty much everywhere. I am active right now on Mastodon and Instagram. And then for shows, Chuck Joyner lets me on Mac Voices Live on Tuesday evenings. Then Dave Ginsberg lets me on In Touch with iOS on Thursday evenings. And... the Big Show here on Thursdays, the Mac Show back here again on Fridays, and then Brian Chaffin and I record The Context Machine, and occasionally I show up on other people's shows. And did I do any extras this week? I don't think so. Anyhow, Google me. I'm easy to find. All right. And with that, thank you again for just putting a smile on my face, because we need more smiles, right? And all three of you are absolutely awesome. Everyone that's been watching, listening live, participating in the chat room, thank you for being here and being a part of this. You also are absolutely awesome, and I'm so glad you're here. For everyone that watches or listens to the shows later, thank you for being part of the BTN family. I'm so glad you're joining us whenever it's convenient for you. And Tio Sohos, thank you for being here and supporting us. Everyone, please give them some online love. Hey, Ewan, thank you just for being you. And Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And everyone that's supporting the Daily News Show, thank you for doing that. And if you're not, check it out and consider dropping some money on that, because it's totally worth every penny, pence, yen, or whatever it is that you like to spend. Yes.
No, it's not worth any rubles.
No, there are not enough rubles. But pesos.
Yeah, we wouldn't take rubles. So.
Yeah.
Pesos, I would take, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Swedish krona.
Yeah, or euros, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, thank you, everyone, for being here. Hey, don't forget to join us tomorrow for the Mac Show. And I'm betting if I forget, someone will remind me that that I said I have info about Mail Maven for you. And don't forget to join us next Thursday again for the Big Show, and next Friday for the Mac Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.